don't know whether I should preach for a very long time since lunch is right here, or if I should preach a little quicker today so lunch is right here. Can always count on Brother Stephen. Nothing like an honest deacon, right? If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like for you to turn to Romans 10. We're going to look at verse 14, and we're going to look at this one verse as our focal passage this morning. But a very important verse, as the title of today's message is, How Then? You can remain seated for this one verse that we read together, but please follow along from Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It reads, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Within these verses, or within this one verse here, there are a series of questions, rhetorical questions given by Paul. Paul considers these very questions to be an important chain of events. An important chain of events that are necessary for an individual to be saved. And those chain of events, or these chain of events in our present day life, are here to learn of Christ. How can you hear or learn of Christ? Then you must be able to believe in him, call upon him. And if you do these things through the chain of events, you shall be saved. And as this verse puts it in plain writing, it says, How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And if they have not believed because they have not heard, if they have not heard, what are we to do? So the question is today, how then? What are you and I to do? How then? How can we go about winning this lost and dying world to Christ? Look at the verse preceding verse 14. It says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The very context of salvation, God's wonderful plan, is profound, and it is so very extensive. It is as extensive and as profound as God himself. But however, the method of salvation is geared to be so simple that even a child can understand it. We often, as we grow older, complicate things. That's why it's important to say, to have a childlike faith. As we grow older, if we remain grounded in God's word, we won't make things confusing. But if we begin to stray away from God's word, if we begin to stray away from the center of God's will as we grow older, we do make things much more difficult. We make things more difficult than God ever intended. It is very important to understand and to know and to believe that you have secured your salvation. This should be something that you should never leave to chance, something you should never leave to doubt. You should know without a shadow of a doubt that you have secured your salvation. And it is very simple to do so. But how then? The word to be saved or saved is so picturesque. When we think of being saved, we think of being rescued, being delivered. And that is what Jesus Christ has done. He has saved you. He has delivered you from a sinner's hell. We should understand and know, or you should understand and know, I should understand and know, and not ever to forget that there's not anything that you and I can do to save ourselves. Only God can rescue you. Only God can deliver you from a sinner's hell. But I love the beginning of verse 13. It says, For whosoever. It doesn't give a specific person, a specific group. It's for whosoever. That is you, and that is me. That is for anyone who's willing to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. But how? How then can one be saved? Turn to Romans chapter 1 and look at verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1. These two verses speak of the power of the gospel, and it reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth," or to anyone, "to whosoever that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We are the just. You are the just. You live, you walk by faith. Paul uses a very important word in verse 13 of Romans chapter 10. He uses the word call. Shall call upon. The word call speaks of great volume of how great our God is. And for we know that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be rescued, we will be saved, we will be delivered from that sinner's hell. In Psalms 86:5, it reads, "For you, Lord, are God, and are ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." Not to those who call upon you, to all of those, to whosoever calls upon you will be saved. Psalms 105:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples." This is what God wants for you and for me. He wants us to call upon his name. He wants us to make the deeds known, his good deeds that he has performed within your life. That is what it's all about. But we go back to the title. We go back to that one verse in chapter 10, verse 14. How then? What are we to do? Paul felt with great logic, great reason, great spiritual intervention from God Almighty. Paul felt that people will call on Jesus to be saved only if they truly believe that he can do so. How much faith do you have in something if you're not quite sure of? Are you willing to step out on that edge? Are you willing to step out in faith? If you have total trust in God, you can do this. This is what Paul is saying here. His logic, his mindset is so rich, it is so pure. Paul says, people will call on Jesus to be saved only if they believe Jesus will do so. Belief in Christ cannot exist without knowledge of who he is. One hears about Christ only when someone has told them about the gospel. How then? We must tell them. You have a job. I have a job. Anyone who is called upon the name of the Lord has become a disciple. They have been made a disciple. They've been given the Spirit of the living God to go out and to tell people how you can be saved. You hear, you believe, and you confess. Paul felt it was imperative that the spreading of the gospel must be something that will take on the world, that it would wrap around the globe. His desire was for everybody to come to know who Jesus Christ is. Not was, because he is not past tense. Who he is today, who he is tomorrow, and who he is forevermore. Paul believed this with all of his heart and with all of his mind, that the only way that you can be saved, the only way that anyone can be saved, is to be able to hear and just simply believe. How easy is it for you and I to hear? You may hear my voice. You may hear my voice as I read God's word, but do you believe it? There's two conditions there. You have to hear it, choosing to hear it and choosing to believe it. We give instructions to our children. We ask them to do things for us, and they hear us, but sometimes they don't choose to do what we ask them to do. We may give instruction to family, friends. You may be over individuals at work. You may tell them what you need them to do. They hear you, but do they choose to do what you've asked them to do? You may hear the still small voice of God Almighty. You may hear it. Do you choose to do what he tells you to do? So how then? In your mind today, as you sit here, I want you to think of how you can tell others about Christ. That last portion, or that very last word in verse 14, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? It's not just the preacher's job. Any preacher. It is for anyone who is called upon the name of the Lord. It is our responsibility. It has been given to us. It's a command by God that you and I are to share the story of Jesus and what he has done within your own life, because every one of us has a different story to tell. And just think how we can reach individuals. You can reach individuals that I cannot reach, and I may can reach individuals that you cannot reach. That is why all of us have such a vital role in telling others about Christ. We have to understand and always know that salvation only comes through hearing, believing, confessing. It cannot be forced. And think about that for a moment. How many of you maybe have tried to force God on somebody and they turn on you so quickly? They put up that barrier, and the barrier gets taller, it gets thicker. The more you try to force God on them, because it's something that you can't do. You can't force Christ on anyone. We have to make sure that when we try to teach others about Christ, when we try to tell others about Christ, that we tell them through compassion and through the love of the Father, and that we cannot get mad or upset because they will not believe the way you believe. We must pray for the Holy Spirit to intervene spiritually through divine intervention. Salvation cannot be wished for. You may have a birthday, and you may get ready to blow out your candles, and you know that we say to make a wish. Doesn't work that way. You can't wish salvation upon anyone. And furthermore, salvation cannot be bartered for. It cannot be traded for. You can't trade anything for it. There's not anything that you can tangibly give out to receive salvation. What you can give is your heart, your soul, your mind to Christ. And when you do those things, salvation will be given unto you. The Word of God must be preached. It must be taught. It must be lived out. So for all of you who sit here today, you know, most of the time when we gather in church, we all just presume that everyone sitting in this congregation are sinners saved by grace and have already come to the knowledge of knowing that they are a born-again believer in God. But that is not always true. Intellectual knowledge of God is not going to get you into heaven. It is spiritual knowledge. It is a knowledge that must be within your heart, not within your mind. And there's a great difference between the two. And you must know the difference between. And the only way that you can know the difference between is by having a spiritual connection with God. Not a spiritual connection with me. Not a spiritual connection with your teachers here at this church. Not a friend. Not a family member. It's got to be a divine spiritual connection with the Holy Spirit. We must live it out, which is very hard to do. You must live it out. We must live it out. I must live it out every single day. And boy, do I fail. And if you're honest with yourself, you fail too. But does that mean that we stop? Do we give up? We cannot. We have to continue on. We must press through the hardships of life, the difficulties of life, no matter what it may be. It may be the most simplest of things that has caused you heartache. It may be the most simplest of things that has caused you to lose your temper or to not be happy. And it could be some of the grandest of things that you and I that we can't imagine. But regardless of the situation, we have to make sure that we live it out daily, because that is how God tests us. That's how God wants to see how we truly will react in times of need. How then must we do this? How then may a sinner like myself be saved? If you would, look at verses 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 10. These two verses, actually Romans 9, 10, and 11. Look at these verses with me, please. Chapter 10, 9, 10, and 11. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. I love that. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Sometimes you don't know what to say. And the best thing to sometimes say is just simply say Jesus. Confessing with your mouth. Confess the Lord Jesus. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That means believe right here in your heart and you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's why it's so important, as we just celebrated a few weeks ago, our three individuals who come to the Spirit and to the knowledge and the truth of who Jesus Christ is. They believe within their hearts, but what else did they have to do? They had to confess it with their mouth. They had to proclaim it. They had to make it public. They had to let you all know that they are recognizing they're sinners saved by grace. And remember, salvation's plan is so simple. that even a child may understand it. Verse 11 says, "For the Scripture saith," there's that word again, "whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Think about things you've done in your life that you've been ashamed of. Maybe you have been shamed. But think about those times in life where you have just felt so ashamed because of something you did, or maybe it was something that you did not do and you felt so shameful. But think about this. The way God looks down upon you and all the bad things that you and I do, the sin that we continue to commit and live in each and every day, but yet he doesn't look at us and he is shameful of us. He loves us unconditionally. And that's how we have to be. It's so hard, I know. But we must understand and always remember that God loves us so and that he will not be ashamed of us. And Jesus has told us, for anyone who is ashamed of the Father, that he will be ashamed of you. He will not recognize you as one of his own. Matthew 10:32 says, "Therefore, whoever confesses," this is the words of Jesus Christ, "that whoever confesses me before me and him, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Do you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? Salvation comes from believing in Christ and acknowledging that he is the only begotten Son. Now, I would venture to say, if you were to go back and to maybe if you take notes during the messages here on Sunday, or maybe go back and to listen what is online, I would venture to say the last several months I've really focused on salvation. And then I asked myself, you know, do I need to change that up a little bit? Or does the crowd, does the congregation get tired of hearing about salvation? And then I answered the question through the guidance of God, and the answer should always be no. If we get tired of hearing about salvation, then we've missed everything that God has given us in his holy and infallible word. It is always about the cross. It is always about salvation, because that is what we're to preach. That is what the gospel is. The gospel is salvation. Jesus Christ is salvation. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, that's very important. If you say that, if you say that Jesus Christ is Lord and you truly believe it and it is heartfelt, that is something that comes from your heart because it is given to you by the Holy Spirit. Do you say that? Do you still confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? We should always be willing to continually confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, not just the day that you asked him to come and live within your heart. You should confess to him daily that you want him to always be Lord of your life, the ruler of your life in all that you do and all that you say. The how then is very simple. It is you, it is I who make it so very difficult. Christ's death satisfied his Father's redemptive plan, and I love that word too. I love the word whosoever, and I also love the word redemptive. Salvation is redemptive. It is God's redemptive plan, because he knew that there was only one way that you could be redeemed, and it was through his only begotten Son. Christ's resurrection in itself is what validates that Jesus Christ is that precious Son of God. There is no one else, there will never be anyone else that will be raised from the dead to save you from your sin. It's already taken place 2,000 years ago, and it still holds true today, and it will hold true until God sends his Son back to rapture his church, to bring home his bride. Saving faith, as I've already mentioned to you, cannot be an intellectual experience. It cannot be an intellectual agreement. It must be a deep inward trust, something that you know resides within your heart, deep, deep down in your heart, and that you hide God's holy and infallible word within your heart. So when you do need him, you call upon him. His word comes right to your mind to help you in times of need. In your innermost parts, it is your mind. It should be your soul. It should be your very being. God should have hold of that. So how then? How can you and I go out and reach a lost and dying world? If we don't tell, they will never hear of Jesus Christ. If you are not willing to share the love of Christ, they may not ever hear it. As I've already said this morning, there is a particular group of people that you may be able to reach that I will never be able to reach. Think about how many different people you see through the course of the week that I will never see. The people that I see through the course of the week that you'll never be able to see. But when they do see you, when they do see me, do they see Jesus? Do they see that there's something different about you? There's something different about me. And that difference should always be Christ. It always goes back to Christ and Christ alone. Matthew 24, 14 reads, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world." Listen to this. "As a witness to all the nations." To all the nations. And then there's a comma. And it says, "And then the end will come." This is important. This verse here. This is something that is referring to Revelation. This is not referring to the end coming here on earth as when you and I, the church, is raptured away. What this simply means is that one day the end is going to finally come. And for those who do not repent, there's going to be many people left here on this earth during the 7 years of tribulation. There's going to be many people left here on this earth who are going to willfully reject the Word of God. They're not going to want to hear anything about this God. They're not going to believe in him. They're going to spit in his face just as they spit in his face the day that he carried his cross to Golgotha's hill. And when that time comes, the end will be here. And for anyone who never made the opportunity or took advantage of the opportunity to call upon the name of God to be saved will live in hell forever. We're not in the days of tribulation. So how then? How then if they have not heard? How then if they have not confessed? And how then if they have not believed? It is up to you. It is up to me. I pray that every Sunday that I stand before you, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, any other opportunity that God gives me, that God's word falls fresh on me and that I speak God's word and God's truth to you so that when you leave from here on Sunday, you just don't say, "I was at church and the day is over," and you go about the rest of your week. I hope and I always pray that you take the word of God, not the word of me. You take the word of God and you take it out that door and you take it wherever you go and tell people. That's how. If you don't tell, they will not hear. If they do not hear, how can they believe? And if they do not believe, then how will they ever confess? It's difficult, I know. It takes courage. Not self-righteous courage. God-given courage. Righteousness that has been bestowed upon you because of the Holy Spirit residing deep within your heart. That's who you have. That is your helper. That is your strength. That's where it comes from. So the question should not be for you and for me, how then? We know how. We must tell the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's done for you and what he will continue to do for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord might not be saved, possibly could be saved, shall be saved. Continue to confess with your mouth and with your heart that you believe in the King of the Kings and Lord of Lords. Let us pray. Father God, I do thank you for this wonderful day in which you've given us. Father, I pray a special blessing on all who are here. Father, I pray that everything that we do each and every day is about you. And not any other motive, Father. May you always be our motive. May our heart's desire always be driven by the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do, God. Bless these people here today, your people. Father, may they be able to say when they leave from here today that it was good for them to be in your house today, Father. Oh, God, I just ask that you forgive us where we fail you and continue to lead us and guide us, God, as you see fit. In your glorious name I pray. Amen.